Thank you. So the events I'm about to tell you are true, and 99% of them happened to me. And I would like to present them to you in a melange, what I like to call the lunch break from hell. So there I was, walking along the trail, thinking to myself, I need a break. It had been one of those mornings where I had a group of kids that I was teaching, and these kids had their own agenda, and I was not part of it, okay? I felt like I had been herding cats all morning, and I was thinking to myself, I need a break. I just want a little downtime to myself. And I had made a particularly nice pastrami and Swiss sandwich on fresh baked bread with homegrown tomatoes and spicy brown mustard. I was really looking forward to this sandwich. And so we feed the kids their lunch first, and then it's time for us to eat. As I sat down at the slightly sloped picnic table in the campground where we have our lunch, a coworker of mine spilled her lemonade and drained into my sector. Not a big deal. I just moved to another location on the picnic table. But as I took my first bite of sandwich, I heard this commotion behind me, laughter and stuff, and I turn around, and over at the lemonade coolers, there's these boys all gathered around the lemonade coolers, and the lemonade spigot is stuck in the open position. And they have their mouth underneath there trying to get the lemonade, right? And so I go over there, and I disperse the boys. I fix the lemonade container, and everything's fine, and I go back to my lunch. And I take another bite of my sandwich when all of a sudden I hear this voice going, "Hey! Somebody help! Josh is stuck in the bathroom! He's stuck in the bathroom!" Okay, now, I'm the only male there at this point, and so it's up to me to free Josh from the bathroom. Now, we're in the state park campgrounds, right? And to call these things bathrooms is being generous, all right? They're an outhouse. They're a pit toilet. They're what the state park calls a vaulted toilet, okay? It makes it sound so cathedral-like. It's a vaulted toilet. No, it's a pit toilet, and it's a pit toilet that hasn't been pumped in months, all right? And it's been ripening in the warm spring sunshine to that slightly sweet fly-buzzing stench that we all know and hate, okay? So as I walk up to the outhouse, I can see around the outhouse there's a bunch of boys all crowded around there laughing and pounding on the door going, "Don't panic, Josh, just take deep breaths," okay? Or they're like, "Hey, can Martin have your cookie? Oh, never mind, the seagulls are eating your lunch," okay? It's Josh's support group, right? So I get up there, and I take my knife, and I jimmy the lock, and I pop the lock open, and Josh comes bursting out going, "Oh, it's so gross in there. I'm never going in there again." And I had to admit, you know, it was pretty gross. So I go back to the picnic tables. When I go back to the picnic tables, there's nobody there. And instead, everybody's gone, and the spilled lemonade has now attracted yellow jackets. And there's yellow jackets all around the table, and my lunch is sitting in the middle of they didn't take my lunch with them when they left. I'm like, great. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to rescue my lunch when the decision is totally taken away from me because a gull comes down, grabs my sandwich, flies off with it. I'm like, great. Okay, so I get what I can out. There's some string cheese left, but it's moldy. I put that away. I open my chips. There's a few whole chips. Most of them are crumbs. I'm eating those. And as I'm eating my chips, I hear the unmistakable sound of laughter from boys that are doing something they know they shouldn't be doing, right? And I turn around, and the boys are back at the lemonade thing again, playing the let's push each other into the lemonade stream again with their mouth. So now I'm pissed. Okay, now I'm mad, all right? So I stalk over to the lemonade container, and the boys see me coming, and they scatter like rabbits, right? But a couple of them hit the rickety table that the lemonade container's on. It falls over. The lemonade top pops off, and about 8 gallons of lemonade and ice go all over the ground. But it doesn't puddle up for the yellow jackets. Instead, thank goodness, it goes into the gopher holes and drains in there. So I pick the thing up. I put the table back. I'm berating the boys. I'm really laying into them. And I think I'm making a really good impression on them because their eyes are kind of bulging out. But then I realize they're not looking at me, but they're looking at the ground beneath my feet. And out of one of the gopher holes is this gopher coming out of there, and it's gasping and gaping and writhing on the ground, probably with an intense ice cream headache from the ice. Now the boys have their cameras and around taking pictures of the poor distressed creature, right? So I'm telling the boys, get away, and they go off. The gopher goes back down a hole and nurses his wounds. So I go back to my lunch. I've got an apple. All right. It's a red delicious apple. It's got a skinny bottom. Those are the good ones. If you get a red delicious, look for the ones with the skinny bottoms. They're good. Okay. So I'm eating my apple, and as I'm eating my apple, these three girls come running over. They're going, "Oh, gross. I'm sick. Oh, Natalie has a tick on her. She's got a tick on her." I said, "Well, that figures. Bring her on over here." And the girls kind of look at each other, and they look at me kind of uncertainly. I said, "Oh, it's in an embarrassing location, isn't it?" And they nod their head. I said, "Well, good. You can go see Penny. She'll take care of that, all right?" So we're getting the kids together to it's almost the end of lunch, right? We're getting together to tell them where they're going to go when I hear this blood-curdling shriek, although a little muffled. Well, it turns out there's a little girl named Tiffany, and there's always one in a group, deathly afraid of all little crawly things. Tiffany was in the bathroom, and while she was in the bathroom, a snake went underneath the bathroom door and now was between her and freedom, okay? So I'm the master of jimmying the locks, right? So I take my pocket knife out, I go over there, and as I approach the outhouses, I can see there's a crowd of girls around the outhouses, and they're saying things like, "Don't worry, Tiff, it's probably more scared of you than you are of it. It's all right, Tiffany, we won't go anywhere. We'll wait here until you're out. Dean will get you out." See, that's Tiffany's support group, right? So I get up there, and I'm trying to console her through the door, but she's having none of it, all right? And it's really remarkable how loud and how long a little girl can scream, right? And so I jimmy the lock open, I get in there, and Tiffany's up on top of the toilet, and she's cowered up there pointing a trembling finger towards the corner over there. And I look over in the corner, and there's the snake. And it's coiled up, and it's about a 6-inch-long garter snake. So I go over and I pick the poor, the snake's probably distressed, its jawbones are probably aching from the high frequency screams from this little girl, right? And I pick up the snake and I turn to show Tiffany that it's just a harmless little snake, which sends her into a whole nother decibel of range of screaming, right? My ears are bleeding, I'm walking out of there, right? I'm done, okay? I let the snake go, Tiffany can do whatever she wants, lunch is over, I hardly have a break. It's my long day. I'm working for another 6 or 7 hours, right? I'm not going to get off till 10 o'clock at night, and I still got to do another lesson this afternoon. So I get my group of boys and, you know, my backpack, and off I go. Well, that afternoon, though, slowly, almost healingly, like magically, my anger and my irritation kind of subsided. And it was replaced with this contentment as the boys that I was with, their enthusiasm kind of infused me as we walked along the shoreline and we poked through tide pools and watched the seals out on the rocks. And when I left the shore and I hiked up that long, steep, sandy hill to the top of that sand dune, I climbed up on top of that tawny sand and my heart was just thumping from that good cardio burn. And I looked out over the azure ocean, I caught my breath in the salty air, and my eye was caught by a pod of dolphins porpoising through the surf. And right then, the squadron of pelicans kind of glided by, their pinions barely moving. And right at that moment, the first boy in the group kind of clambered up onto the sand dune with me. And he got up there and he looked at me and he followed my gaze out into the ocean. And he stood there and he breathed out, "Wow." And then he looked at me and he said, "So, like, do you get paid to do this?" And I looked at him and I said, "Yeah, I do." And he goes, "Man, how do you get this job?" I said, "I don't know. Just lucky, I guess. You know, must have done something right." And then I looked at him and I said, "Thanks." And he kind of looked at me kind of puzzled. And I thought to myself, leave it to a kid to put it all into perspective. Here I am worrying about a break. You know, my whole job's a break. I mean, I'm one of those lucky people that I think when I wake up in the morning, I don't have to go to work. I get to go to work. And being a naturalist, I know it's not for everybody, and it's certainly not a moneymaker, okay? But for me, it's one of the best jobs ever. Thank you.